Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Holy Fika. It's good to see you. Let me put my flippers up. There we go. Now I can see you better. That was a dumb thing to say, wasn't it? Well, what's going on this morning? Where are we having coffee? Anybody have a guest this morning? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not far from home. The weather's a little tenuous. It's not cold out, but the wind is blowing. It looks like, you know, you could get sprinkled on at any moment. So where are we? We're just outside of Barnum. We are on the Willard Munger bike trail or running trail or whatever kind of a trail it is. Yeah, we're sitting here this morning and, you know, I've been kind of enamored this summer by the number of marathons in Duluth. You know, we always have the Grandma's Marathon. And then there's all these other little marathons that go on, half marathons, quarter marathons, walking marathons, all these marathons. I've been thinking about taking up marathons. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really wired for it, but I've been thinking about taking up marathons. The big question for me is, because I think they're really exciting, I watch them on TV, I go, yeah, I like those marathons. Now I'm trying to figure out, what would I enjoy more? Running in the marathon or watching one? I think I'm going to stick with watching one, although I'm all ready today. I came out here, I've got my cup of coffee, but I also have other stuff. I'm ready. I was one day wearing a new pair of shoes I had picked up, and I was so excited about how comfortable they were, and someone looked at me and said, oh, Pastor, have you taken up running? Those are running shoes. I didn't know they were running shoes. I knew they were different. They're kind of lightweight. They've got a different tread on them. They're really a nice shoe, but I didn't know I bought running shoes. I bought them because I thought they were stylish, and I impressed somebody by thinking I was running. I'll tell you what, if I were running, I would look more like clown shoes. People would laugh at me. I'd probably run about the same speed with clown shoes on as I would my running shoes. But I'll tell you what, I'm ready. I've got all the hats. I've got this hat. Someone told me this is a running hat. I don't know. Well, what do you all think? It actually feels pretty nice. I've got a lot of caps, but this is a nice one. Or I have a black one. This is an Alaskan hard gear. This is a nice one too. You know, so these running hats are all kind of weird the way they fit the head. But anyway, some people say they're biking hats too. I don't know. But I think this is the one. This is a traveling one. See it? It kind of folds up. And I can put this one on too. I don't know. See how it folds. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll leave this one on for now. It kind of matches your shirt better. I also have a running shirt, you know, one of those kind of muscle man running shirts. I've got a couple of those, but I'm going to spare you of those this morning for sure. Well, you know, a guy just went by here. Mike, I know Mike well, and Mike was out running right now. In fact, there's been some bikers that have gone by. I've got the camera focused on the trail, so you may see somebody running. And he came by and he was telling me that there's two cubs and a mama bear that are on this trail, but they're on the other side of the county road, more toward Mattawa, on the north side, I guess. So if any of you see a bear in the background on the trail, would you let me know? Because I may not see it. Remember the time we did this on a deer stand up by Nemadji, and there were turkeys in the woods right behind me? Yeah, that's kind of funny. We never know what's going to happen at Holy Fika. So I'm so glad you're joining me this morning. I hope that maybe you're sitting out on a deck, or maybe you're enjoying the outdoors a little bit these days. We've got some really nice weather. But so what are we going to talk about? What's all this frivolous talk? And some of you say, foolish talk, Kendall, foolish talk. Get to it. So I'm going to get to it. Why am I sitting here talking about marathons? And why am I sitting here thinking about being a marathon runner or being a spectator? Well, I'll tell you why. Because my deliberation about marathons has a spiritual application. You see, I'm sitting here in a chair. I've got my little travel folding chair that I take with me wherever I travel. I don't care where I go in the country or the world. I pack my little folding chair, and I pack a kite wherever I go. I like to fly a kite and say, I flew a kite in this country or in this place or that place. And then I have my chair with me, too. I also have a little portable fishing rod I take with me. So that's kind of a neat thing. So here I am sitting, and I'm thinking about marathons. And I got to tell you something kind of funny about that. Because marathons physically are like marathons spiritually. We talk about doing it, running the race. We talk about being disciples of Jesus. We talk about all this stuff, but we never really get to it. You know, we kind of sit in the lawn chair with a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea, and we think about running the race, about being a believer, about being a Christ follower, but we never quite get to it. We buy all the stuff. We have all the Bibles. We have all the Bible studies. We have all the music. We do all the right stuff. We do all of it, but we never quite get to it, you know? So there's a parallel there. And so you're running, huh?
Yeah, going for a little jog.
All right.
Throw up the cobwebs.
Good man, you're doing better than I am. Okay, so we do this spiritually. We buy all the stuff. I'm notorious for this. I get excited about something, and I buy all the stuff, and it's still in the packaging 5 years later because I don't get to it. I don't get to it. And maybe that's okay with those kind of things. But when it comes to following Jesus, friends, we got to get out of the chair. We got to get out of the chair. We got to quit sitting there just thinking about doing it and never doing it. So there's a passage of scripture that maybe some of you are familiar with. Maybe you're new to the Bible. Maybe you're listening today, or maybe you're listening on public access TV at 3 a.m. and you say, you're the only person on to listen to. I don't have a really much of a choice. And you've never heard these Bible verses. So these words come out of the book of Hebrews. And they're good words for us to think about, because it speaks about what it means to be a Christ follower. Therefore, since we are surrounded, since all around us are such a great cloud of witnesses or spectators, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles us, that get our feet all messed up, that trips us up. Let's get rid of that stuff, and let's run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. The race is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the completer of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful people, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, friends, some of you today are maybe weary. You're weary. And maybe you're losing heart. You've just kind of given up on stuff. And so I just would like to take a few moments and let's think about that. Let's think about that together as we sit on the Willard Munger Trail this morning. Okay? So the first thing that really strikes me is that we keep running. How do we keep running? We keep running, first of all, by following the examples of those that have run before us. One of the things I appreciate about the church that I pastor, and if you don't know me, I pastor a church here in Barnum, and our demographics are, we have a lot of older people. We have a lot of what I would call saints that have walked the walk for a long time. They've been followers of Jesus. And in my life, I've had opportunity to know a lot of people that have walked with Jesus for a long period of time. One of the places that was true is a church I served in Minneapolis, where we had a whole bunch of older people. And I ended up as a really young guy. The second church I served was in downtown Minneapolis. And there were all these older saints. And I hung out a lot with them. I wasn't the college pastor. I wasn't the youth pastor. I hung out with the old people. And they were loving, they were kind, they were patient, they put up with me, but I watched them. I watched them. And I learned a lot from them, and I listened to their stories. And I heard about the faithfulness of God. And I heard about the value and the worthwhileness of hanging on. They were witnesses to the fact that what I was going to be preaching in the pulpit, and little did I think that 50 years later I'd still be preaching that message, but that I heard them 50 years ago. My faith wasn't that strong. Friends, listen, I was just a young guy, wet behind the ears. I was excited about Jesus, but the proof in the pudding hadn't really happened in my life yet. I couldn't speak from my own life experience as to the faithfulness of God. But hanging out with those people and watching them, I discovered that God is faithful, that God does keep his word, that God doesn't let us down, that he loves us with an incredible, unending love. And when I read this text in Hebrews, and it begins with, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by people. We're surrounded by the stories. And it's not simply people that are alive, friends. It's reading those stories. I love reading Christian biography. And in my library, I have tens of Christian biographies. And I love reading them. And you know what? There's a common thread in people that have been faithful, people that have really bore fruit in their life for Jesus. One of the things that's true in their lives is that they've all had crash and burn moments. They've all had moments in their lives when it's been tested. It's been tested. And the reason I say that to you is that today, if you are in the midst of a time like that, where it's tough, you're weary. I mean, it really is. And you wonder what you did wrong. You think maybe God has deserted you. I want to tell you something. He hasn't deserted you. You're still in the palm of his hand. And what I've learned from that cloud of witnesses that the writer of Hebrews is talking about is that very same thing. That I look to them and I see, yes, God does not give up on me. I may give up on myself. Others will give up on me. But God never gives up on me. So if we're going to run the race, we're going to keep running the race. One of the things we understand is that we need to follow the examples. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who certainly understood that he was not perfect, said to those that were reading his letters, look at my example. Boy, he didn't say it because it was a perfect one, but because of perseverance. And I would have to say to you that I would hope that I might be able to say, and it would be said of me someday, follow his example. Not in all the decisions he made, because I've made some real clinkers. I mean, I really have. And I've made some real mistakes. And I've got some things, if I could go back, I would do totally differently. But the one thing that I sought to be is continue to be faithful to a God who is faithful to me. And I want to say to you today, keep running. Keep running by following Christian example. Okay, let's look at the second thing. The second thing that he speaks about is at the end of verse 1 that I read to you. And it says, face your sin and your hindrances head on. Face them head on. One of the things I notice in a cultural observation is that we don't do that real well. We face everyone else's and we blame everyone else. But we seem to have a really hard time in looking at our mistakes and owning them, taking them head on. Those hindrances, those things that we either haven't done or the things that we did that weren't right, you know. There are sins of omission and sins of commission. And a sin is simply missing the mark, friends. This is not some religious book telling you that you didn't meet their standard. A sin is an action, or the lack of an action, that separates us from God. It puts a barrier between us and the person. We know that from our human experience. We've all done that. We've all sinned against somebody. We've done something that we shouldn't have done, or we didn't do something we should. And there's a strain on the relationship, and all of a sudden you're not talking to that person any longer, and the separation gets wider and wider and wider. And that's what happens with God in our lives. God never left you. But the thing of it is, we run from people that we hurt. We do that. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that if we're going to keep running, you got to face those things that are hindrances head on. Because if you don't, they entangle you. And the best picture of this for me is that, and it happens to all of us, whether we're young or old, it happens if we're running or walking, if we're hunting or if we're fishing. I mean, it happens to all, that if you have loose laces, you know what I'm saying? If your shoes aren't tied, your boots aren't tied well, and you have loose laces, you end up getting tangled up in them, and you end up on your face someplace. You end up falling, and you end up getting tripped up. You get entangled in the laces. And what Paul is saying, don't get entangled in these laces. Don't get entangled in this stuff. Face it head on. Reach down, tie that shoe again. Get take care of it. Cut the laces. Do what you need to do. But don't get entangled. Deal with it. I can remember, this has happened to me, where someone will say, your laces untied. And I go, yeah, I know. And then I keep walking, and the next thing I know, I'm tripping on it. Why didn't I just stop when the person told me and tie the lace again? It's like sin in our lives. We know it's there, but we don't stop and take care of it. We say, I'll take care of it next week, or I'll take care of it tomorrow, or I'm busy right now. And so we don't take care of this stuff. And what the writer of Hebrews is simply saying is, you keep running by following Christian examples. You keep running by facing your sin and the hindrances in your life. And thirdly, you keep running by focusing on Jesus. You keep focusing on Jesus. I have to ask you today, what's been your focus? What's been your focus? And what is your focus today? There are different ways to check that out, you know. One is to check your checkbook or to check your bank account. We don't have checkbooks anymore, so we can't look at our check ledger. We used to be able to do that. We could see what was important to us. Now we basically go to our bank account. Go online, look at your bank account, and see where the withdrawals, where are they going? Are they going to restaurants? Are they going to sporting goods stores? Are they going to clothing stores? Where are they going? Are they going to payments on cars and toys? Or where is your focus? You'll find that out very quickly by looking at the expenditure of your finances. And secondly, look at your calendar. What is taking your time in your calendar? What is your focus? And you'll find it out very quickly. And that focus is what you'll find that you live for. You'll find that that focus is what grabs your attention and keeps your attention. You'll find that sometimes your focus will in fact make you a slave of it. And so if we're going to keep running, one of the words of encouragement and advice that we're given is focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Well, how do you do that? You do that by reading the scriptures, reading the story, reading the gospels, reading about Jesus. You do that by prayer, by talking to Jesus. Who you talk to is who you're focusing on. I mean, if you talk to your kids all the time, I would say you have a focus on your family. And if you never talk to your wife, you never talk to your kids, but you're always talking to people at work, I'd say you have a focus at work. I mean, it's who you talk to, where you spend your money, who you give your time to. And the scriptures are saying that if you're going to keep running this race, if you're going to keep steady in being a Christ follower, it will be important for you to focus on Jesus. And then the last thing, as the sprinkles are starting right now, but don't worry, I won't shrink, I won't melt away, I'm not sugar for sure. And so we're going to finish this morning because it's important. Because the last one is that we finish with confidence. 1 Peter chapter 2, we read about how Jesus finished, how he suffered, but he finished strong. I think I shared not long ago that early in my days of ministry, I was at a conference and I heard Chuck Swindoll speak. And one of the things that I heard Chuck Swindoll say is that he prayed that he would finish strong. And I can remember sitting at that conference saying, I want to finish strong. Now, when I finish, I hope that I've been faithful. As to the degree that I can be, that I'm faithful to the end. I want to be faithful to the end. Will I be scarred a little bit? Absolutely. Will there be bruises? Yeah, there will be. But did I finish strong? And my prayer is that your desire is that you would finish strong as well. And so this morning, here we are on the Willard Munger Trail. I remember Willard Munger. I never knew him personally, but I mean, I remember him and how he was on the local news all the time as a legislator. Well, here I am sitting on the Willard Munger Trail. Some of you have biked it. Some of you have ran it. Some of you, you've been to different places on it, all the way to Hinckley and up to Duluth. And well, I'm sitting in Barnum on it, and I'm thinking about marathons. And I'm believing today, and I want to encourage you to make your walk with Jesus, Christ follower. Hear me carefully. It is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And I encourage you to train for the marathon. Run the marathon. Remember who's cheering you on. Remember your focus. Remember your desire to finish the race. I always love watching the very end of the marathon, the people that finish last. Because you know what? Most of them that finish last are as happy as the ones that finished first. And you know why? Because they finished. They finished. They finished the course. It wasn't that they came in first, but they stinking finished. And you'll see some of them and they're barely walking across. And you know what's really cool about it? When they get to the finish line, they are met by the same congratulations and family members and friends that will hug them and encourage them and say, "You did it! You did it! You finished!" And they'll be just as excited as the family members that greeted number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 33, 55, 72, 120, 330, the same thing. Because you finished the race. Walking with Jesus is a marathon. Finish the race, brother. Finish the race, sister. Keep on, keep on. It's worth it. Well, I think in terms of marathons, I kind of like doing them from a chair. And I got a feeling that's probably what I'll do the rest of my life. But I certainly hope when I walk with Jesus, it's not sitting in a chair. And I hope for you it's not that. Because the joy in the marathon with Jesus is actually doing it. Doing it. Let's run. Let's run with perseverance. Thanks for joining me on this Wednesday morning. A little cloudy, but what a great day. Love Minnesota summers. Glad you're here. God bless you, my friend. See you next week.